transformation, he can forget himself. In order to stop anyone recognizing it, I thought up the story with the mysterious monster plaguing the village. I sent a message to Farstead and got a reply, "You'll have to deal with the mysterious beast yourself." This made it possible for me to give assignments to free citizens while concealing the appearance of the Sklik. Then I handed over the issue of assignments to the Magister. And what about Tisha? Why did the priest expect me to hand her over? He wanted to get hold of a vagrant, not a Sklik. Tisha. The headman fell silent, looking at his petrified daughter, and heaved a bitter sigh. Everyone has a weakness. Tisha really reminds me of her mother, so I decided not to inform her of our plans. She received a different education, one that was too correct, by Malabar, not Carter's standards. Our ways are alien to her. We had to show her that free citizens are untrustworthy and would betray anyone for money, even a beautiful and defenseless girl. When you refused to hand her over to the Magister, I was furious. I even had to fly to the castle and inflict some discipline on the workers there. And then there's her obsession with that bear.
You know?
A subdued squeak came from Tisha's direction. Who would I be if I didn't? Any more questions from you? No? Good. Then I'll continue. An inverter was built in Beatwick and concealed by a ziggurat to prevent any accidental discovery. And then everything ran according to the devised plan. I sent you to catch the wolves, which started to bother our workers. At the same time, I instructed the goblins to begin hunting you. We had to get our fatso captured. To prevent you finding out too much, I personally put a defense on him. This was done to get the heralds snooping around, inquiring about what was going on in Beatwick. In total, we prepared 10 potential areas for invasion, and in each there was a key figure, which could have relayed the information about the goblins to the heralds. You were the only one who was able to take a prisoner and launch the subsequent chain of events. In order to spur on the heroes of Malabar, I decided to build a castle, intended to become our future base of power in this region, outside the ziggurat's zone of effect. The heralds had to have the opportunity to jump to it and observe it by themselves without having to be summoned. As soon as the castle was ready, it was shown to you. The merchant, to whom you were careless enough to show the eye of the Dark Widow, became our man 2 years ago. We got him under our thumbs straight away. He traded off the information about the eye and the person who had it in his possession. As planned, the free citizens of Malabar, greedy and stupid, immediately went after such a prize. We could only thank the Herald that he didn't let them kill you. And then you fulfilled your purpose, called the goblins for help. You were shown the castle, which, as you correctly noted, has 4 inverters built into it. They were put into operation 4 hours ago. According to my calculations, it would take Malabar forces about 25 minutes to storm it, after which the heralds will teleport them all to Beatwick. Around 500 free citizens above level 280, and about 10,000 warriors and mages from the Emperor's personal guard of level 380 or above, that have already spent 25 minutes in the inverter zone of effect and have no amulet of the kind that's hanging on Beth's neck, Shall I tell you what will happen in Bewick in just a few minutes, or can you guess yourselves? Oh, yes, I forgot to add. I removed the transformation suppressors in the villages, so there's just 10 minutes left. That's it, I think. The other 9 invasion points will be discarded as ineffective, and the Krong province will become part of Cartus. We didn't need much, but we had to show Malabar our teeth. You could have changed it all, my wayward son, if you left everyone to their fate and stopped the attack on the castle. But it is too late now. The effect of the inverter is already underway. And here come our great warriors. From the big hill where the temple once stood, you had a very good view of a portal appearing before the Beatwick gates. A herald stepped out of it, looked around, and 9 more portals materialized, from which the Malabar army began to pour out. 500 players and 10,000 NPCs. "It has begun," whispered Nati, looking pleased. On one hand, I understood very well that the players, especially the high-level ones, don't have much to worry about. So what if they lose 30% experience from their current level? It's not exactly fatal. Something else was a much more acute source of worry. 10,000 high-level NPCs which simply had to be destroyed. I couldn't even imagine the scale of the raid that would have to be organized for such an army. Shouts started to come from the direction of Beatwick.
"Line up! First squadron, to the left! Second, to the right! Third takes the center! The free citizens should choose any direction and try not to get in the way! Army, attack!"
There came the roar of the 10,000 voices of the attackers, though I couldn't quite identify who they were. Were they determined to wipe Beatwick off the face of the earth?
"Beth, would you be able to stop the transformation?" I asked the priestess in a whisper, when the army of Malabar began to encircle Beatwick.
"No," the woman whispered. "Even if I was the High Priestess, I wouldn't have enough strength."
"So, looks like the Emperor no longer has a personal guard."
The advisor looked thoughtful, and Nati sported a pleased smile.
"But why, Father? 10,000 warriors is quite a force, of course, but it isn't one that our heroes would be unable to beat. Your plan was doomed to fail from the start. We would not tolerate Cartus on our territory. Why?"
"And who is guarding the Emperor's palace right now?"
Mirida suddenly asked.
"The personal guard."
The advisor started and immediately fell silent.
"The one that's here now? Or is this some kind of a small vanguard?"
"This is all of them."
The advisor once again was looking rather pitiful.
"Including all the heralds and 2 advisors. Right now there is only 1 advisor by the Emperor's side. And also 3 masters of Cartus and 20 magisters. I hope that our priest is there already, and 1 very interesting shaman," Nati summed up. "Not to mention the 5,000 dark packs. We have somewhat perfected the inverters, my son. Among other things, they also prevent the use of portals. I permitted the entry here, but now the heralds are in for a surprise. They won't be able to teleport around. The 2 years of preparations have borne their fruit. The Emperor will be overthrown, and there's no one there to help him. Even all the high-level free citizens are now here, away from the capital. The rabble that remained in the city For our army, it's nothing. Everything has gone exactly according to plan. Enjoy your defeat.
A piercing scream of pain sounded around Beatwick, drowning out all other sounds. A swirl of mist formed around each of the Emperor's guards, and when it dissipated, Barleona sported 10,000 more Cartus minions. High-level minions.
I think that's it. There's nothing left for me to do here. Although, Beth, I did promise to finish you off personally, and promises have to be kept.
Don't you dare touch her, or you're not my father anymore,
shouted Tisha, standing between Beth and the master.
If you...
The advisor lost little time, and, as soon as the headman turned his back to him, attacked his brothers, enveloping them in cocoons.
Run!
He shouted to us, when the surprised master turned to him.
Malabar may not have dodged this blow, but you will not escape here alive. Mayan, take them all out of here!
Lightning began to flash around us, the earth began to boil, and a great wind started to blow. The advisor had met his match in the master.
Phoenix, battle stance! Tanks to the front, full circle defense!
The shouts of the surrounded players began to be heard from the direction of Beatwick. I recognized Anastaria's voice, in command of her raid group.
Those without a clan, get out!
Legion, Alpha Formation, Mages, the Dome. Plinto, Mages are in your group. We'll fight our way to the village.
The dragons are holding ground. Let's fight out to the forest. Herald, open the portal.
By the looks of it, each clan was starting to fight for itself. If there were complete raid groups present, they could hold out against such an army for some time. The transformed NPCs wouldn't have much space to maneuver and would only be able to attack the players over a limited area. Through the clashing of swords and whizzing of spells, there suddenly came a clear sound of a crying baby. How could I forget? Beth and I made enough amulets for 80% of the village population. Those should not transform, but the other 20%... A massacre was underway in Beatwick now.
Holy Aluna, the children,
whispered Beth in horror, and ran to the village.
Stop! You can't!
Tisha managed to jump on her, and the girls rolled on the ground.
You won't get through! There are berserkers all around! Clouder and Mariana are in there!
This was the first time to my memory that I had heard Beth call her son by his local nickname.
Beth, he's beyond help now! Look! The berserkers have begun to break down the gate! Beatwick is doomed! We have to get out of here!
Everyone shut it! I wasn't expecting to come out with such a scream, but the panicking women pushed me over the edge. Our previous group had collapsed, probably as soon as the master removed the temple walls, or even earlier. I missed the exact moment.
I'm making a group! Join up! Quick! Now!
I dropped an invite to Beth, Tisha, and Mirida. The first two accepted without any questions, but the lady player pointedly raised her eyebrow.
What do you intend to do, small fry? Knock over 10,000 warriors?
My pretty, I hissed. I've really had it with everyone. Soon there'll be screaming and a flood of swear words. If you don't want to come with us, do us a favor and take a hike. If you ask questions and challenge my words, take a hike. If you start acting like a spoiled princess, take a hike. Over there is a crowd of players hanging out. Feel free to march over and share all your grievances with them. It's not like I really need you or have to explain my actions to you. Are you with me? No? Then off you go. Beth, Tisha, after me, quick! Defying logic and common sense, I didn't run for Beatwick, but to the place where the altar to Vlast had previously stood. I was really interested in the passage into which the Magister had disappeared. Something told me that this was the direction we should be heading in. The ball of flame that the grappling advisor and master had turned into rolled towards the village, sweeping aside a large squadron of NPCs like a bunch of bowling pins. As soon as I stepped behind the altar, I noticed that my group had grown. Mirida accepted the invite. The passage was immediately behind the altar, with a spiral stair leading into the blackness of the basement. Not allowing myself to switch on my brain, I said, "After me!" and began to descend. At the bottom of the stairs there was a narrow passage, lit by a couple of torches. After waiting for the now calm ladies, I moved ahead. After just a dozen meters, the passage turned and brought us to a 5-meter-long cave with some strange device in the middle. The portal, which the Magister used to depart here, had practically dissipated. And, most importantly, one wall of the cave contained a niche, fenced off with thick iron bars.
"Theodore!"
shouted Beth, and ran to the cell.
"Beth?"
The man in the niche jumped up from the ground and leaned against the bars.
"Beth, my dearest, run from here. He may return at any time. The priest of Vlast is a Cartus Magister."
"I know, my love."
"Do you know how to open this thing?" I butted into the conversation of the two lovers, who apparently lost their heads with the joy of being reunited. The developers were fond of sprinkling around scenes like that. Reunited families, return of the prodigal son, and so on and so forth. The designers believe it makes the players think and become more tolerant of other people.
"The lever is on the other side of the hall."
Theodore managed to tear himself away from Beth and turn on his brain. Finally, at this point the group could really use someone with a head on their shoulders.
"Mirida, find the lever. Theodore, what's your class? Tisha, stop crying." "Me? A priest and a healer?"
"Great. I'm sending you an invite. All of us are in a group now, including Beth. We will quickly free you and get out of here. Are you able to walk unaided?"
"Yes, but what's the point?"
"To get the children out. There is an Armageddon in progress upstairs."
"Beth, what's he on about?"
"Darling, just trust him. Every second is precious. Aftondil and Mariana are in Beatwick."
"Everyone, after me!"
I shouted when the bars of the cage flew up. Waving away the message that my charisma went up by 10%, I headed back to the surface. It was time to rescue those wearing our amulets. I just wish I had some idea of how to get through the crowd of those that transformed.
"Hal, hang in there. Rick, the right side's on you. Bars, grab 5. The left edge is yours."
As soon as I emerged above ground, I was hit by a torrent of shouts and commands. I looked over the battlefield and chuckled. The players had split themselves into several modest-sized groups, about 40 people in each, which were being gradually destroyed by the enemy. The loners that responded to the summons of the Emperor were mowed down immediately. Only the clan raid groups held out, but they were being pushed farther and farther from the village. One small comfort consisted of the fact that 10,000 NPCs were unable to knock down the village gates. Far though it was, I could see that the level of durability of the gates was still at half full. If we make it into Beatwick through Beth's passage, we would be able to save all the NPCs who had not been changed. One slight problem was the enormous Cartus detachment between us and the village, which surrounded the Phoenix and Legion players. The clan fighters weren't standing far from each other, but it looked like the question of combining their forces didn't even occur to them. Strange, this would make their lives a lot easier. Each group contained 2 or 3 heralds that helped to repel the attacks, and Phoenix even sported an advisor in their ranks. The ball of flame that was the headman and his son became a whirlwind and started to race around about 500 meters away from the village.
"Man, what should we do?"
asked Beth with a resigned look.
"We can't fight through this crowd."
I had to decide something, and quick. I whipped out both amulets from Anastari and Plinto and activated both.
"Yes?
What?"
the player shouted almost at the same time.
Whoever you are, get lost. We've no time for this. Now shut up and listen here. Anastaria, are you the raid leader? I'm sending you a group invite. Join together with all your raiders. Plinto, the same goes for you.
Mayan, have you totally lost it?
Roared Plinto.
Mayan, do you know what to do? Where are you?
This one came from Anastaria.
I have no time to explain. Stacy, just trust me, as usual. I'm on the hill about 300 meters away from you. Plinto, damn it, don't decline the invite. To me, quick!
Phoenix is joining,
shouted Stacy, and the frames of 30 players appeared before my eyes. Hellfire's hit points constantly jumped up and down. He was probably tanking.
Stacy, what are you doing?
Hellfire's and Rick's shouts could be heard through the amulet.
Plinto, will we be waiting long for you?
I really didn't care anymore. High level or not, they were essentially a gathering of disorganized idiots, each thinking only about himself.
Plinto, this is Anastaria. Let's group up. I agree with Mayan. It would make it easier for all. We would see your frames and would be able to heal you when needed.
Go to hell. Legion never backs down. We will win.
With these words, Plinto turned off the amulet.
Forget him. Mayan, what do you propose?
Stacy, give the amulet to the advisor.
Mayan?
Even in the heat of the battle, the voice of the advisor was calm.
Advisor, I know that the heralds are unable to form portals. In this area only, Cardis portals work. I happen to have a couple, but before I use them, I need to get people out of the village.
What am I saying? This is a game. I have immersed myself in it so much that I no longer pay any heed to high-level players, dictate my conditions to an advisor, and, in general, carry on like a 400-level character.
If we each fight separately, we will be overrun very quickly. We have to join up, but other clans won't go under Phoenix. Their pride wouldn't permit them. I'm not from Phoenix, and they don't know me. Give me the opportunity to command the clans in this fight.
That's it. My foot was off the brakes. I'll cook up such a fantastic mess now that I'll end up giving myself a good kicking for it all later.
Are you sure you can handle it, 20-leveler?
A thoughtful voice of the advisor came from the amulet.
We'll have to find out, won't we? It's not like we have any choice. Half the mana's already gone. Another 5 minutes and the Phoenix fighters will start migrating to the Greylands. I can't say what will happen with the heralds and advisors, but I doubt it'll be very pleasant.
Attention, all players taking part in the battle near Beatwick. Shaman Mayan, a level 21 free citizen, will be in charge of the evacuation. He has been granted all the necessary authority. His word is the word of the Emperor. Duration of his appointment, 2 hours.
Stacy, fight your way to the left!
I continued to scream into the amulet.
Heralds, I need a communication line with the Azure Dragon's clan raid leader.
What?
A muffled, tense voice of a player, probably one of the clan leaders, sounded in my amulet.
This is Mayan. Are you the one in the red hat?
Yes. What did you want?
I'm inviting you into the group. You read the announcement, right? If yes, then it should all be crystal clear. Stacy, fight towards them and join up. You'll figure out the tactics yourself. You're a pro at this.
Sir, yes, sir.
Even through the noise of the battle, I could hear the cheer in the girl's voice. Yes, this is what having proper raid experience means. For her, everything going on right now is just a game, and I'm the only one that started to confuse it with reality. Suddenly, I felt the vibration of Plinto's amulet.
So, you've come to your senses, then? I'm sending you an invite.
Mayan, this is Evelyn. The Legion is ready to join you. You can send the invite to me. What do we do?
Great. I see you've taken one heck of a battering. Phoenix and Azure Dragons, fight your way to the Legion. They'll be getting mashed any time now.
I suddenly had a bout of the damned premonition.
Stacy, bubble on Hellfire, now! The second tank, pull those mobs! The rest, support the second tank!
I didn't know what it was that the Cardis warriors had come up with, but Hellfire started to catch hits worth 500,000 damage. Yes, he was quite thick-skinned himself, with almost a million hit points after all the buffs and elixirs, but he simply wouldn't have survived damage like that. The bubble, which Stacy threw on him without any questions, protects the target from all types of damage for 10 seconds. It was for this ability that paladins were a must-have feature of any raid. When the big boom hits, a pally would pull you out. With the aid of heralds, I was able to join up with 3 more clan raid groups. In total, including my original 5 members, I was now looking at a sea of about 200 frames. They constantly jumped up and down, with numbers indicating damage or healing lighting up next to them every second. It was enough to do your head in. "To all raid leaders," I shouted through the heralds, "the detail of raid management is in your hands. I'm in charge of the general strategy. Now we must all gather into one group and together make our way towards the stockade. Stacy, take out a party to pick me up. I'm on the hill. Go!"
"Why the heck are we going for the stockade? We should head to the forest."
I couldn't really make out who said that. What's with the dissent in the ranks? Such insolence must be stamped out at the root. I finally get the rare opportunity to order people around, best players of the Empire, no less, and someone's throwing a spanner in the works.
"We need to make it to the village before it's taken by the Cardass forces. The gates will hold out for another 5 minutes at the most. We gather the surviving villagers and teleport out of here, now!"
I wouldn't say they went supersonic, but the players did start running around. After we united into a group of a couple of 100 fighters, and I had the ability to see the frames of each, it was considerably easier to repel Cardass attacks.
"Beth, open the passage!"
I continued to shout orders left and right.
"Stacy, take your lot and leg it to the gate. It'll break any time now, and this horde will spill inside. Stop them at the entrance. It's a narrow space, so you won't have to fight them more than 2 or 3 at a time. Beth, where's the passage?"
Some messages constantly flashed before my eyes, telling me I was receiving this and that, but I simply had no time to read them. The only thing I noticed was that I reached level 35 in the last 5 minutes.
"Mayan, we're in position. The gate's about to come down. You were right,"
reported Anastaria when half of the players were already inside the village.
"Evelyn, you take the street on the right. Go through all the houses, shout that the Emperor sent you, and do what you can to gather all the NPCs together."
"Partaros!"
I shouted to the leader of some other clan, having only a vague idea at this point which it was. There was no time to look it up.
"You take the left street, same stuff. Beth, where are you going? Undig it, take her, and go straight ahead. We gather on the central square. The advisor and heralds, you need to hurry to the palace. The Emperor has been, or is about to be, attacked. We'll manage here without you. Here, take a portal scroll. I don't know where it leads other than out of this area."
I took out the scroll, which I had taken off the captured goblin, and activated it.
"If you are right, Mayan, the Empire will be in your debt," said one of the advisors, after which the entire Malabar elite left Beatwick.
"A portal! Time to split!"
Plinto's shout came from nearby. That's the last thing I need.
"Everyone, stop!"
I never thought myself capable of raising my voice quite like that. Plinto and a band of 10 players simply froze, agape.
"Everyone, stand your ground!"
"You have used a raid leader ability, Thundering Shout. Energy of all the raid members has been increased by 20, and all the main stats plus 20%. Duration, 5 minutes.
Waving away another message informing me that my charisma had once again grown by 1, I looked at the potential deserters.
"Plinto, damn it! Are you a player or a pushover? If you're a player, what the hell are you doing? Had enough of the game, have you? Want to be booted out of Barleona altogether? Back in the line and hold the passage. If Cardass gets through, gnaw them with your teeth if you have to, but hold them off."
The left street's been cleaned up.
The right one's done.
Mayen?
Clowder ran into me. I will probably never call him Avtendil now.
Tiny Tim attacked me. He suddenly became huge, black, and scary. Tore through the netting and jumped on me. He was going to tear me to shreds. But another Tiny Tim appeared from your present, a see-through one. Just imagine, two Tiny Tims are fighting in our yard right now. One evil and black, and the other good and see-through. What happened to my dog?
Let's go, dear. Don't distract him. It's hard enough for him as it is.
Beth dragged the excited lad away from me, and I looked at Undigget, the leader of the Azure Dragons. How many normal ones?
135. It's time to bail out. Phoenix is holding the gates, but look at the walls. Half of their durability's gone. Soon they'll give, and we'll be mowed down.
I agree. Attention, everyone. It's time to get out of here. Undigget, take your team and get ready to receive the NPCs. The others will come after. Stacy, how are you holding up?
Not that great. The tanks are still standing, but we're running out of mana. Mayen, I agree with Undigget. It's time to bail. I'm not prepared to lose experience over this. It's bad enough running around with your debuff on me.
Roger that. As soon as half of them go through the portal, run towards us. Throw freezing spells and traps, anything to slow them down. Time's a-ticking.
Azure Dragons went through the portal, followed by the rescued residents of Beatwick. Only Beth and her family remained.
Do you need a special invitation?
We can't go back. If we leave Krong, we will be immediately killed on the orders of the Emperor.
Beth heaved a deep sigh.
The children will go through, but we'll stay behind. Perhaps we'll be able to slow them down.
Why is everything so damn hard with you guys? Here, take this. I handed the Emperor's ring to the priestess.
Get out of here, quick! Plinto, grab her and jump in the portal.
How did you...
Now! Quit with the drama, just go! Stacy, that's it, pack up and run to us.
Coming. Hell, charge!
A couple of flashes came from the direction of the gates, which was probably Stacy using something to blind the mobs, and Phoenix players immediately appeared from around the corner.
10 seconds, and they'll follow us,
shouted Stacy as she ran.
Evelyn, get ready to jump into the portal as soon as Phoenix goes through.
I issued the last command to the defenders of the passage and jumped into the portal. That's it. I've had my fill of fighting.
I was the last,
shouted Hellfire as he jumped out of the portal.
You can shut it the hell down.
I deactivated the portal and slumped to the ground, exhausted, and only then looked at the map to see where we ended up. We ported to the land surrounding the Cardus Castle. Just my luck. Only 10 kilometers from Beatwick.
What's with the castle? Did you destroy it completely?
The thought about the inverters was really bothering me. If they were activated, the heralds would have been unable to teleport out of here, and all of this would have been for nothing.
There's not a stone left standing of the castle,
Evelyn assured me.
We destroyed everything.
What the heck is that?
Came a muffled shout of some player. A tornado was heading towards us from the direction of Beatwick. Two enormous figures could be seen at its center, the advisor and the master, neither of which had yet gained the upper hand in their duel. I was about to respond when another message appeared in front of me.
Citizens of Malabar, lament. The Emperor is dead. Your reputation with the Emperor is changed to reputation with the Emperor's steward.
Everyone froze. What did "the Emperor is dead" mean? How was this possible? A minute had gone by when a new message appeared.
Citizens of Cardus, lament. The Dark Lord is dead. Your reputation with the Dark Lord is changed to reputation with the Dark Lord's steward.
And now I had completely failed to understand anything. I got it as far as our Emperor was concerned, since the aim of the plot was to kill him. But the Dark Lord? The tornado made up of the advisor and the master fell apart, and both vagrants, who had for some reason become 3 meters tall, froze about 300 meters away from us, looking at each other.
Mayan, don't even try to pretend you don't know what's going on.
Anastaria came up to me, and the entire crowd of players stared at me expectantly.
I would never believe it.
A slight disagreement had taken place here, my pretty.
A pleased and imposing voice spoke in my stead. I've heard it somewhere before.
That's it. It was,
"Let me introduce myself."
A man appeared next to me, wearing a formal dress of the courtier.
"I'm Garanika. I've come for this sentient."
He pointed towards me.
"And to make sure no one gets in the way, I'll tidy up a little around here."
He waved his hand, and all the players and NPCs standing nearby were landed with the petrification debuff for 15 minutes.
"Now we can have a chat."
The dark shaman walked around me and shook his head.
"When we spoke last, you were just level 21. But now I see that you've grown somewhat. To gain 46 levels in 2 weeks is a very impressive result."
"What? What 46 levels? With all the surrounding mess, I completely forgot to keep an eye on my character's status. I opened my properties and was struck dumb. Holy cow!
You could say that the fight went well for me. My plan is flawless. There is now no emperor or lord, and no masters or advisors on our continent. Even all the heralds and magisters have perished. Although I did have to kill the Dark Lord myself, it was just as well that his personal guard had their hands full with the Emperor at the time. Now I'm the only power that remains. Everyone will fall at my feet. I offer you to join me. You are still weak and inexperienced, but I'll teach you everything I know. Make your choice, Shaman."
"Attention, you have been offered to go over to the side of Shaman Garanika as the disciple of the Emperor. Description: having set himself against both empires, Garanika destroyed the Emperor and the Dark Lord, creating an empire of his own. The capital of the Third Empire is on the edge of the Freelands and is now marked on your map. Do you agree to join the new empire?" "To the player located in a prisoner capsule. In connection with the launching of the continent-wide scenario, the term of compulsory settlement has been revoked by Court Decision Number 45-RS-344328. Now you are a provisionally free player. Remaining limitations: presence of pain, the 30% tax, prohibition on attacking other players first. Have a pleasant game."
"I am waiting, Mayan. Do not test my patience. You will have everything that you could possibly wish for,"
Garanika hurried me. "To become an emperor's apprentice? What a brilliant idea! Soaring to such heights in a flash, it's just hard to imagine. And how long will be the fall from those great heights when Malabar raiders will come after Garanika to avenge the Emperor? Although, why worry? I'm a player, and they can't really do anything to me. But then what amazing gaming abilities would open up with this offer?" I almost pressed the button accept. And then I remembered Cornick's words.
When the time comes to choose, make the choice with your heart and not your head.
Could my green teacher have seen this coming?
Mayan!
I ignored Guernica's shout and listened to myself. Do I really need what's being offered by this NPC? Yes, I do. Do I want to follow him? No, I don't, and I can't explain it. My entire being screamed that I should make this bastard feel bad, and then stomp on him some more, and then jump up and down on his remains, just to be sure. I refuse. I decided to put my feelings into words.
Is this your choice?
Guernica was enraged.
You decided to oppose me? You decided that you'll have enough strength to fight me? The one who destroyed both emperors? The one who will be the only sovereign in Barliona? Then take what you deserve!
Lightning bolts started to flash out of the Dark Shaman's hands, but they were stopped by a dome that formed around me. What, another helper had joined the show?
Stop, you fool!
A thundering voice nearly threw me to the ground.
Dragons, hissed Guernica. That's the last thing I need.
I glanced at Anastaria, who was lying next to me and looking up with huge, shocked eyes. I looked up and saw Renox hovering above our raid. Hello, Renox. What are you doing in the middle of this mess?
We could not calmly watch what this madman was doing. Dragons had to intervene in the events of this world. Know this, Mayan. We'll meet again.
Guernica spat out angrily.
And for you, our next meeting will be a very unpleasant experience.
With these words, Guernica disappeared. Renox, it's good to see you. Can you remove petrification from everyone here?
I greet you, my son. Wait a little. First, I would like to speak to the new Emperor and the new Dark Lord.
With who? Who was this reptile speaking about?
Naughty Regul.
The dragon rumbled, ignoring my question.
Come here.
Both vagrants, not daring to refuse, came up to the dragon. Renox came down to the ground and stared intently into the eyes of each, as if reading their thoughts.
Behold the result of your enmity. The Emperor and the Dark Lord are dead, and you are behaving yourselves like two wolf cubs fighting over a bone. Come to your senses, Regul. Now and henceforth, I dub you the nameless Dark Lord of Cartus. Gather the remainder of your army and rebuild the palace destroyed by Guernica. Naughty, now and henceforth, I dub you the Emperor of Malabar. Gather the remainder of your army and rebuild the palace destroyed by Guernica. I grant you the power of the Emperor and the Dark Lord. May you be worthy of this burden. Rule wisely and honorably like your predecessors. My task here is complete.
The great dragon is mistaken, started Regul,
the only remaining advisor and now the Lord of Cartus.
Silence! Roared Renox. I know who you were, and who you will become.
I
Bow before the wisdom of the Great One. Bow the Emperor, the former master of Cardus.
Citizens of Malabar, rejoice! The Emperor is alive! Your reputation with the steward of the Emperor is changed to the reputation with the Emperor. Citizens of Cardus, rejoice! The Dark Lord is alive! Your reputation with the steward of the Dark Lord is changed to the reputation with the Dark Lord.
Mayan, I can see that a quiet life is not for you. At our last meeting, you managed to surprise me. But now, I am simply astonished. You are a worthy dragon. Unfortunately, my presence here has disturbed the balance, so in the next 100 years, dragons cannot appear in Barleona. Try not to destroy the world.
With these words, Renox soared up and disappeared, returning to his realm. The two vagrants, having risen to level 500, first looked at each other and then at me.
"Mayan," began the new emperor, "I thank you for everything you have done."
"Your reputation with the Emperor of Malabar has increased by 4,000 points. You are 5,700 points away from the status of esteem."
"I agree," added the new Dark Lord. "You also have my thanks."
"Your reputation with the Dark Lord of Cardus has increased by 4,000 points. You are 6,000 points away from the status of esteem."
"Emperor, come. We have much to discuss. It's time we learned how to talk."
As soon as both NPCs disappeared, the petrification debuff was removed from all the players. But no one broke the silence. Anastaria got back to her feet, looked me in the eye, and whispered,
"Mayan, I never expected something like this. You, a dragon?"
I wanted to respond to Anastaria with the usual, along the lines of, "You're such a fool," when another message struck me dumb.
"Attention, all players. Following numerous requests, the game administration has now opened the option of making characters on the dark side of the Cardus Empire. To transfer a character to the dark side, please read the rules published on the official website of the game. Welcome to the renewed Barleona."
This concludes The Cardus Gambit by Vasily Mahanyenko, translated by Natalia Nikitin, narrated by Jonathan Yen. Copyright 2015 by V. Mahanyenko. English translation copyright 2015 by Natalia Nikitin. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Magic Dome Books and was produced in the year 2016 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.